800-800-0000 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
USA Radio News.
Today, President Trump delivered remarks from Fort Drum, New York. Now, after delivering remarks, he signed the National Defense Authorization Act for the next fiscal year. The president again talked about restoring our military.
After years of devastating cuts, we're now rebuilding our military like we never have before, ever. Because we know that to survive and having that survival of our freedom, it depends upon the might of our military.
FBI agent Peter Strzok, who headed the FBI's Hillary Clinton email investigation and was briefly a member of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team, was fired by the Bureau on Friday. Mr. Strzok was fired by the FBI for his anti-Trump tweets and messages that he sent during the 2016 campaign. This is USA Radio News.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Next, you're holding up the line, ma'am.
What did you say?
You're next in line for the water slide, ma'am. Feet forward and enjoy the ride.
Okay, dearie. This does look fun. Whee! Oh, you've melted me. I've melted.
The Wicked Witch of the West on a water slide? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
See what you've done. Oh!
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
The upcoming release of a new smartphone is an example of a trend in smartphone technology. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes explains.
There was a time when smartphone fanatics might have been counting the days for something like this, but when the new Galaxy Note 9 is released on August 24th, while it will be faster and will last longer without a recharge, there aren't really many new earth-shattering features. Still, it's going to cost $1,000.
Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphrey. Check it out, usaradio.com. That's usaradio.com.
The White House says the actions of Russian warplanes against a U.S. Navy destroyer this week violated an agreement signed back in 1972. USA Radio's Chris Barnes has more.
It's the bilateral agreement on the prevention of incidents on and over the high seas.
That's White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
Ships engaged in launching or landing aircraft shall not permit simulated attacks by the simulated use of weapons against aircraft and ships.
A few days ago, Russian bombers conducted simulated attack passes near the USS Donald Cook in the Baltic Sea.
The United States has raised our concerns with the Russians.
A Russian military spokesman denying that the actions by those warplanes should have been seen as anything provocative. In Washington for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Nearly 5 years after the earthquake that rattled its foundation, the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., entering phase two of its restoration work, USA Radio's Anthony Lucero.
We are introducing some new technology to try and help these pieces perform better in an earthquake.
Cathedral Director of Preservation and Facilities Jim Shepherd says it will include removing the broken pinnacles atop of one of the cathedral's towers and then installing new ones. Officials estimate it will take at least another 10 years and $22 million in order to finish the repairs.
A California taxi service for kids being pushed to the curb by a tight money environment. San Francisco Bay Area ride hailing company Shuttle is shutting down today. This is USA Radio News.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and Huntshimmer.com. Freeholder Rob Walton is in the house, and we're going to talk with him about a whole bunch of things going on in Hunter County. So we got plenty of time. Well, hopefully we have plenty of time to do it. I appreciate you coming on, Freeholder Walton, and appreciate you coming in to talk some really tough issues today. So good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad, always glad to come in and speak on the issues.
Good.
Never been shy about speaking my mind. As I'm sure
that has been apparent, and I've seen it in the notes, in the meeting notes with the freeholders. So just to be transparent here, you are not up for election this year, right?
No, I am not.
Okay, so we're not on the stump. We're just frustrated with the world of Hunterdon County. So let's start where we want to start. The economic development plan, the SEDS, has been out there, and gosh, we've been working on this thing for 2 years now.
It's actually longer than that.
Well, it was completed back in late 2014, right?
Yes, we applied for the grant probably 4 years ago.
Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphrey. Check it out, usaradio.com. That's usaradio.com.
The White House says the actions of Russian warplanes against a U.S. Navy destroyer this week violated an agreement signed back in 1972. USA Radio's Chris Barnes has more.
It's the bilateral agreement on the prevention of incidents on and over the high seas.
That's White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
Ships engaged in launching or landing aircraft shall not permit simulated attacks by the simulated use of weapons against aircraft and ships.
A few days ago, Russian bombers conducted simulated attack passes near the USS Donald Cook in the Baltic Sea.
The United States has raised our concerns with the Russians.
A Russian military spokesman denying that the actions by those warplanes should have been seen as anything provocative. In Washington, for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Nearly 5 years after the earthquake that rattled its foundation, the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., entering phase two of its restoration work, USA Radio's Anthony Lucero.
We are introducing some new technology to try and help these pieces perform better in an earthquake.
Cathedral Director of Preservation and Facilities Jim Shepherd says it will include removing the broken pinnacles atop of one of the cathedral's towers and then installing new ones. Officials estimate it will take at least another 10 years and $22 million in order to finish the repairs.
A California taxi service for kids being pushed to the curb by a tight money environment. San Francisco Bay Area ride hailing company Shuttle is shutting down today. This is USA Radio News.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and Huntshimmer.com. Freeholder Rob Walton is in the house, and we're going to talk with him about a whole bunch of things going on in Hunter County. So we got plenty of time. Well, hopefully we have plenty of time to do it. I appreciate you coming on, Freeholder Walton, and appreciate you coming in to talk some really tough issues today. So good morning.
Good morning. No, glad always glad to come in and speak on the issues.
Good.
Never been shy about speaking my mind, as I'm sure.
That has been apparent, and I've seen it in the notes, in the meeting notes with the freeholders. So just to be transparent here, you are not up for election this year, right?
No, I am not.
Okay, so we're not on the stump. We're just frustrated with the world of Hunterdon County. So let's start where we want to start. The economic development plan, the SEDS, has been out there, and gosh, we've been working on this thing for 2 years now.
It's actually longer than that.
Well, it was completed back in late 2014, right?
Yes, we applied for the grant probably 4 years ago. Received the grant, started the study, the analysis. Mm-hmm. Produced a plan, had some comments on the plan, sent the plan to the U.S. federal government, and they have a role in all of this. God only knows why.
Yes.
And it came back to us with their stamp of approval, which, of course, gives me a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling inside. And now we are embarking on the implementation phase, right, of SEDS.
Okay.
And I voted for the grant because, for one thing, the federal government incentivizes counties to have these plans by providing extra funding for road projects and the like that are in a SEDS. So certainly government's role is to provide for transportation infrastructure.
Okay.
And it is certainly to our advantage to leverage as much federal funds as we can to reduce the cost of Hunterdon County property taxpayers, mm-hmm, for our road projects. So there's a good reason to.
So a question about that.
Sure.
So it does direct you to a certain extent to focus on certain things, but is there any more things that you're tied to because you're getting them involved?
No.
Okay.
No, that's good. Not that I believe so.
All right, that's good.
So I voted for the grant application. Then when the we were awarded the grant, I voted to accept the grant. Mm-hmm. When the study was produced, I voted for it. These studies are a wonderful snapshot in time, and they're wonderful at telling you what just happened over the last 10 years.
Yes.
They're usually not very good about what's going to happen over the next 10 years.
Oh, now we're going to talk.
Well, because nobody really knows what happened in the next 10 years.
This is exactly my frustration. When I was in Leadership Hunterdon and we talked about the SEDS, I spoke about this specifically. I said, it's nice that you have all this, and it's nice that you're making plans, but if you plan on what's going on 10 years from now, And it's glacial how fast this happens. By the time we get there, the world could completely change, and you've set yourself up for absolute disaster.
Correct. I mean, this is the nature of government economic plans.
Right.
And the thing about trends, the last four letters of trends, ends. I mean, these things come to an end.
Right.
No one saw the millennials deciding to delay childbearing and marriage and buying homes by 10, 15, 20 years, depending right. upon who you listen to. And what are we seeing now? Suddenly they're starting to realize, hey, you know what? Living in Hoboken above a bar with a kid isn't exactly
not
the best
fun.
Thing to do.
Right.
And they're starting
coming
to
back.
Come back and buy single-family homes. It just took them a little while longer to get around to. You know.
Well, that's an interesting point because we've learned that kids today, and it's not a, this is not a – I'm not bashing them or dissing them, but we've learned that the maturity span has extended.
Interesting.
So, you know, kids that were 18 to 30 years ago had a maturity level of what is today around 25.
Well, as a father of a 14 and 9-year-olds, that does not warm my heart. Or
I'm sorry, man, but we've done that
that's
because we've extended their life when in college, and so that evolution, Darwin,
interesting.
Is
interesting.
Making us. So, yeah, they realize 5 years later.
Hmm.
Sorry to digress.
Yeah, I know. That's okay. There's a bit of a downer there. But so we have this plan, and it says, here's what's happened over the last 10 years. Therefore, here's what's going to happen over the next 10 years, and
correct.
Therefore, adopt these policies. And right there, I say, whoa, stop.
Yeah.
Anytime government starts trying to monkey around with the market, it screws it up royally.
Right.
And we've seen this time and time again. You know, you look at the worst recessions, depressions in the history of this country. They were matched by the greatest amount of government intervention into the market, whether it's the Great Depression, the recent recession. So I do not like the government trying to put its finger on the scale, picking winners over and losers, mm-hmm. trying to direct and guide the market. That's what a free market and economic mechanics do.
Yep.
I went to one of the SEDS presentations at one of the municipalities, and a lot of what they talk about, my colleagues, is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
But some of it is just dead wrong. As an example, they said the reason we need a SEDS is because of Liberty Village. Now, Liberty Village was an economic plan. Someone decided in their infinite wisdom 30 years ago, 25 years ago, that if we build this retail destination, people will come by the busload to Hunterdon County, mm-hmm. shop at Liberty Village, and then there will be an economic spillover for the region that will benefit Flemington, Raritan Township and the area.
Correct. And that was the only outlet center at the time.
Bingo.
It was a brilliant, ingenious idea.
Yes, until the underlying premise of the plan fell apart.
Right.
The underlying premise being there's no place else like this.
Right.
Well, suddenly it was so successful that there were lots of places like this. And those places tweaked the model to improve where Liberty Village may have been a little bit off. They were closer to population centers, and suddenly the Liberty Village plan mm-hmm. stopped working, which is the nature of plans like this. They eventually don't work, and SEDS is not going to prevent a Liberty Village situation. SEDS is only going to create new Liberty Village situations.
Right, because we're going to buy into it, we're going to put in a plan, we're going to enact it, and then eventually it's going to erode, and
correct.
we got to be flexible.
Yes, and that's and marketplace economics, free markets, whether you read Adam Smith, Milton Friedman, Friedrich Hayek, you know, all these great philosophers of economics will tell you that these things simply don't work.
Okay.
And they should be free from government, the economy. Now, that's not to say that some of this economic stuff is not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And business retention, which the chamber has engaged in, there's much in the sense that is good and can be helpful. The problem is we've placed it all inside government. You look at the Business Improvement District in Flemington, whether there's the new one or the old one.
Yep.
You look at RSEDS, any of these acronyms that we've placed in government bureaucracies, they run up against human nature. And mm-hmm. We all respond to incentives. We eat cookies. Why? Because they taste good. Why do we eat 3 cookies and not 20? Because they make us fat.
Right.
We respond to incentives. So elected officials, office holders, politicians, whatever term you wish to use,
mm-hmm.
respond to incentives. Those incentives are different than the incentives a business leader responds to, different than the incentives that a corporation responds to.
Right.
It doesn't make us good or bad, it's just different.
Right.
And we've placed the economic development projects into the hands of people who do not have economic development incentives. And then we wonder why these things go awry, mm-hmm. as we've seen in downtown Flemington, which, you know, 5 years later is
exactly
still
where we were.
You know, no further ahead than it was.
We just had three failures. That's all we had. We had redevelopment. We created for redevelopment. Tried to get somebody in there. I don't know whether that process was on the up and up, or whether it was a little friendship going on, or just because everybody's getting their fingers in it and it just dissolves it. You got people who are sitting there trying to protect the Union Hotel because it's their baby. And the other option, which Jack Cuss Jr. said, is it's time to get rid of it. We've tried this twice. Why is the third time going to work? So he said, let's go a different route. Let's get rid of it and put something else in there that's more viable, that performs the way the Union Hotel did, but with a better 21st century work of it.
And yeah, go ahead. Exactly. And I don't pretend to know whether Jack Cuss development will work or not.
I don't either.
I'm a mechanical engineer by degree.
Right.
I am an external affairs representative by profession right now.
Mm-hmm.
I am not an entrepreneur. I'm not a businessman.
Right.
And last I checked, neither were the folks in BID, SEDS,
right.
Flemington Borough Council, Hunterdon County Freeholder Board. You know, so I don't believe any of us should be getting in the way of the free market and letting Mr. Cust, if he thinks this is a wise place to invest his money,
mm-hmm.
let him invest it. If it works, great. If it doesn't, someone else will come along and invest their money, make a profit. This
All right,
is this
well, there's
the market.
There's a challenge to this, though, Rob.
Sure.
And that's the challenge is that you don't want somebody coming in and railroading the entire world because it's in their best interest. Now, I'm not saying Jack Cust is coming in and going to make selfish decisions. I don't think that's the case. But I don't think he's got the complete point of view. I don't think anybody ever has the complete point of view. So my point is that you need to still have other points of view, government points of view, business points of view, to make sure we make the correct decision for all. How do you do that? And not have somebody posturing, but still come down to the right answer and not make it glacial?
Well, first of all, there are no such things as right answers, unless you're talking about math problems.
Well, the right answer, I would say, is the one that's collectively thought through by all the perspectives. That's the only way you're going to get close to the right answer.
I guess I would, again, dismiss the premise.
Okay.
Life is not about the right answer. Life is about trade-offs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You want to have a vibrant downtown? Well, the trade-off is you might have to lose the Union Hotel.
Yep.
You want to have a beautiful Union Hotel preserved for historical posterity? Okay. Then guess what? You don't have the same economic vitality that you once have. It's trade-offs.
Right.
You know, you want to taste delicious cookies? Okay. The trade-off is you got to go for a jog the next day. You know, there's no right answer to any of these things. It's simply a matter of choices.
Okay.
And yes, you can certainly take the collective into account, but ultimately, the collective is not going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to pay for it.
Right.
And that person who's risking their capital should be the one allowed to make the decision, because when you have nothing at risk, you don't generally make very good choices.
Right.
And we see this with government all the time. Government doesn't risk any of its own money because government doesn't have money.
Mm-hmm.
It takes money from taxpayers.
Yes.
So if you're going to go spend your money, Chris, on a business venture,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be very careful about what it is, because it's your money at risk. You're the one who's going to lose out, not some phantom invisible taxpayer somewhere. You are. Jack Cust, if he does this, he's the one that's going to lose or win.
Mm-hmm.
All the folks who are speaking out against the project, for the project, very few of them have any real skin in the game.
Yes.
And that's the problem with a lot of this economic development stuff when it's put into the hands of government, is they don't have skin in the game. There's no consequence if this says doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to lose any money.
Right.
So you put these decisions into the hands of people who have skin in the game, for whom there's a consequence if things go right or wrong.
Right.
And that's the way I think the most optimal decisions are made. And you use the word correct, I would use the word optimal.
Fair enough. The only thing I would like to bring up, though, from an extreme point of view, and I'm not saying that this would happen in Flemington or anywhere else, but let's just take this extreme point of view. Back in the 70s, Manhattan, 42nd Street, economically went into a place where that particular part of the city was really ugly. It was all the X-rated movies and stuff like that. That was all decided by market forces, right? So it obviously wasn't the best interest for all of Manhattan, but it was market forces. So that's why I'm saying you need to have some. Now, you know, I'm not saying that Jack Cust is interested in doing anything like that, and I think he's got our best interest. But if somebody had come in and just was free to do whatever they wanted, and we're going to use market forces, they could impose their will by making an investment, and that is going to affect everybody else externally. That person still could make a lot of money on that investment. It would still make this place a lot worse. So that's what I'm trying to avoid, is that extreme direction.
I understood. And I guess, first of all, with New York, mm-hmm. I think if you look at the social forces that occurred and the abandonment by the city government of basic policing functions and other basic government functions, you had a liberalization of policies in the city, a tolerance for things that should have been intolerable anywhere,
right,
that allowed Manhattan to go the way that it did.
Yeah.
And certainly the businesses that are there now are much more profitable,
yes,
than what was there before, because Rudy Giuliani, to his credit, did what government was supposed to do and, you know, dealt with criminals, dealt with the social ills of the city, mm-hmm. and let the marketplace do the rest.
Yep.
And that's government, you know, as a conservative, a lot of folks say, well, you hate government, you're anti-government. No. I love government.
Right.
As long as it does what it's supposed to do and nothing else.
Yes.
I love limited government, small government that does the core functions. And when it starts to go outside of its role, mm-hmm. it doesn't work.
Yep.
You know, so much of our problems today with the anti-establishment, with Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, is an anger at government. And the problem is,
correct,
that we've asked government to do too much. I stubbed my toe, government needs to solve the problem.
Right.
You know, I've gained 10 pounds. Well, government needs to put food labels on my, you know, please. You know it's bad for you. You know, you don't need the government to tell you this. But we have reflexively, yep, maybe we're delaying, maybe this maturity thing you're talking about is a good explanation. But we are reflexively asking government to take care of us.
Right.
And downtown Flemington is not working. Well, the government must need to solve the problem. Hunterdon County's economy is sliding. Well, county government must need to do something. Maybe the answer is no. Let's let the marketplace work. Let's scale back government. Let's get government out of the way,
right,
and allow the market to work. You know, you look at the state of Texas, where they have a booming economy, because the market is allowed to work. And people are leaving California,
right,
because there the market is extraordinarily constricted by the government. In New Jersey,
they created their own monster over there.
And we are heading down that same road very fast here in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
with our taxes and regulatory climate. Again, people respond to incentives. You create a tax on something. You know, we tax cigarettes because we want to disincentivize kids to smoke.
Right.
So we raise the tax on cigarettes, less people smoke. We raise the tax on businesses, and suddenly we're surprised that there's less business. You know,
I agreed.
It's ponderous, man. And these people don't get it. and so getting back to the county and to the Flemington Seds, you know, there's this just – there's this reflexive instinct in people today, sadly,
mm-hmm. yep.
to expect the government to solve these problems. And government can't solve these problems. Government can fill potholes.
Mm-hmm.
We're very good at doing that. We can fund firefighters to put out fires. We're very good at that.
Mm-hmm.
Government is very good – at distributing aid to those people who are you know, the least among us, who are the most neediest among us.
Right.
You know, we're pretty good at that kind of stuff, providing a true safety net. Once you get beyond that, we're really not that good at it.
Right.
And you should not be asking government to do it.
And most of the time, those people who are in those roles don't have all the expertise necessary to make those decisions.
Well, no one has the expertise to make these decisions because right. the presumption is that one person in a central role, let's call him an economic development director,
right.
can somehow gather the sufficient knowledge and information to be wiser than the 130,000 people of this county,
right.
acting independently in their own self-interest out there in the marketplace. You can't build the computer big enough to gather that information to be smarter than people acting independently in a free market. It just mm-hmm. isn't possible. You know, you don't know – from buying groceries to dry cleaning to all these things we do in the marketplace, the presumption that somebody in some government bureaucracy can know better and therefore organize it better is just folly.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere it's been tried,
right,
it's failed.
Yes.
But we keep trying to say, oh, no, we're just going to tweak it a little bit. We're just going to – it's not the model that's wrong. It's how they did it.
The
no,
premise.
It's the model that's wrong.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll give Rob a second to get some water, and we'll be right back with more of Good Morning Hunter and talk more about all this in one moment.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the 4 key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and HuntingTumor.com. I have freeholder Rob Walton with me today, and we are dissecting the SEDS and the economic status of Hunterdon County. So, Rob, we... The SEDS as a document has some great information that you say is viable. The process in which we're trying to implement it is the concern. How would we unravel that and do it better?
Sure. Two things on that. First, if you look at what county government does,
mm-hmm.
and what I believe it should only do in a limited, small scope county government.
Right.
We make lots of decisions that have an economic impact. As an example, we built the North Hunterdon, the North Branch Library in Clinton 20 years ago or so, 15 years ago.
Right.
When we built that, we made an economic choice, whether we realized it or not. We put it on the outskirts of the town of Clinton. And in doing so, it really generates almost no economic activity. Had we looked at building that through the lens of SEDS, we probably would have built that closer to downtown Clinton. That way, mom and dad take the kids to the library to get that children's book to do some reading. When they're done reading, they're going to walk the block or the next door down to go to the ice cream shop.
Right.
Or maybe mom and dad are going to go to the coffee shop to get a cup of coffee and read that book they just checked out.
Correct.
That's a way where county government, SEDS, and economic prosperity can meld well.
Mm-hmm.
Deer Path Park, beautiful park. We have all of our summer concerts up there. The problem is there's nothing there
right.
other than the park. So instead of having it – some place where folks can get a nice dinner and some wine and then go to the concert or go to the concert, then go out to dinner for some dinner and wine. We have it in the middle of the woods.
Right.
It's a beautiful park. We certainly need parks in the middle of woods because you want to get away from it all from time to time. But as an active recreation park where lots of people are coming, it probably wasn't the most ideal location if you're looking at it through the SEDS. And certainly when we start making government choices about locating facilities, about building structures, about lots of things, we need to also take into account what will be the economic impact of that decision. And county government has not done that heretofore. So certainly SEDS has a value in helping us craft the normal decisions we make as county government.
Mm.
The alternative, what should we be doing?
Right.
I like the Morris County model, where they have an economic development corporation. It is a private, not-for-profit corporation. It happens to be in Morris County, housed with their Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
But it is a separate entity. It's its own corporate board, its own corporate governance. It does get public funding, and I have no issue with public funding because certainly there is a public interest in seeing a robust economy. But all those decisions are driven by the private board,
mm-hmm.
business leaders, entrepreneurs, not driven by county government. And in the SEDS presentations that my colleagues are doing, again, I think my colleagues are sincere and really want to help the economy. I just think they're going about it the wrong way.
Right.
There is a slide that shows the SEDS configuration. And at the bottom, you've got the 77-some-odd SEDS subcommittees.
Mm-hmm.
And above that, you've got the steering committee. That's where the private participation is in the SEDS. It's in that steering committee and in those multiple subcommittees. Above that is our new economic development director.
Right.
Okay. That's where the slide ends. Now, what the slide doesn't show is the rest of this org chart. Above the economic development director is another government bureaucrat. Above her is another government bureaucrat. And above that government bureaucrat are five elected officials.
Right. So by the time it's filtered down, we've had it filtered from the lens of county government.
Yeah, it's not a partnership. I mean, if I organized my marriage that way and said, yes, dear, you're in the transportation subcommittee, she'd slap me. You know, that's not a partnership.
Right.
Because anytime they want to apply for a grant, they want to accept that grant. They want to spend money. They want to get a budget. They want to promote somebody. They want to add staff. It's got to go through those committees
mm-hmm.
to the economic development director, to the director of the Department of Planning, Land Use, and Parks, to the chief of staff of County of Hunterdon, and then to the five freeholders. That's an awful lot of government layers to go through to do anything.
Right.
That's not, in my mind, an effective, nimble public-private entity, a not-for-profit removed from county government receiving partial public funding
mm-hmm.
would be free and nimble to do what it has to do. It would also be free from the politics. And inevitably, politics enters into these things because we have different incentives than business leaders do. We are up for election every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get reelected or elected to the next office. We just have different incentives than does a business leader. Our horizon as elected officials is shorter because we've got terms.
There is exactly the reason why we have a lot of trouble in Washington today. And not to digress completely, but yes, they make a lot of short-term decisions to acquire that reelection. But everybody's kicking the can down the road on Social Security and health care and stuff like
Absolutely.
That.
And same here at the state
yep.
with the Transportation Trust Fund and pensions. Yes, we're all looking ahead to the next election.
Mm-hmm.
A business leader, an entrepreneur, understands that he may invest a boatload of money now, and it may take him 10 years to recoup that investment, but he's in it for the long haul. It's a different incentive, a different reasoning. And my fear is that because we've put not just SEDS but the bid in the hands of government control, it's going to run up against these incentives. And we saw it in Flemington play out.
Yeah, well, that was interesting because, when I first came into this area and started getting more in depth and understanding it, the appearance was that the bid was independent, but that's not actually the case.
Well, I think the Flemington businesses were very wise in trying to organize a business organization to try to promote and improve the business climate of the downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Where they made their mistake was going to the governing body and asking them to create it. Now, and here's the problem. It's the lure of easy money has a very strong appeal. I think it's a Glenn Frey song.
I'll have to find that one.
So they went to the governing body and said, just create the special tax.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went about creating this bid with the expectation they would be independent. But there never were. They were a creature of the governing body.
Right.
They were dependent upon the revenue from the governing body, and then they were surprised when the governing body stepped in and said, we don't like what's going on here.
Right.
Well, if you truly want it to be independent, and I get that, that in some places the bids are left alone to a much greater degree. Mm-hmm. The flip side of that argument is there are bids that did a better job than this bid did. I'm not judging any of that.
Yeah.
But when you ask for your business entity to be created by politicians and then politics interferes, why are you surprised?
Yeah. Everybody's going to leave it alone if it's humming along. The only time it's going to have a problem is when it has a problem. And so that's what happened this time. They didn't like it. They didn't like the way things were being used. And
I think the bid my critique of the bid, I don't think they managed expectations well. And, you know, in my day job, if I tell a customer, I work for the electric company.
Right.
If I tell a customer, you're going to be without power for 4 hours, and they get it back in three, we're heroes.
Yep.
If I say you'll get your power back in two and they get it back in three, we're awful.
Right.
It's the same duration of an outage, but it's the expectation. And correct. I don't think the bid took the time to educate the public about how this process was going to work. And I think they didn't understand who their audience was. I think they felt their audience was strictly the businesses. Well, because you are a creature of borough council, and borough council answers to the electorate of Flemington, your audience really is the Flemington borough voters. And making sure they understand and appreciate and support what you're doing is enormously important to what the bid needed to do. And I think what this new bid should be doing is making sure that it keeps the public engaged if they want to succeed in this new bid. I don't think they did that. And then the council did what they're supposed to do. They responded to the will of their people. The people of Flemington, from my sense of it, really didn't like how the bid was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Flemington Borough Council responded to that incentive. Oh. Gee, my electorate doesn't like the way things are going.
Okay.
Well, I'll fix it.
And dissolve it and move on. So the lesson learned. So how do we – that's – we are setting ourselves up potentially for the same thing, are we not?
That's my fear. And I even if – I'm sure that this bid – this I'm sorry, this sort of the SEDS, if continued the way it's going, will have some successes. But I don't believe it'll be optimal.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you want to have the optimal outcome as much as possible. And the gentleman we've hired to do economic development, he came from a county where they had an economic development corporation. He came from a public-private partnership that was part public-funded, largely private-funded, but that was left alone to do what it needed to do. It was not...
So it was close to the Morris County model.
It was almost identical to the Morris County model. And when he came here to interview with us and interview with SEDS committee members, he said, this is the way to go. It's ironic that the first act of the board is not to follow his advice. You know, we hired this guy for his advice, and the first thing he says is, this is the way you do it. We say, we're not going to listen to that.
Right.
So
how long is this guy going to last? I mean, seriously, if he runs into that type of stonewalling, and I'm not saying it's intentional stonewalling, but just a difference of opinion. How long is he going to last before he moves on and we got somebody else we got to bring in?
That's the fear, certainly. And I am hopeful that these things don't pop up and that this becomes an enormous success. I'm not rooting against any of this.
Right.
I'm just a realist, and I see what's happened before elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how these models generally go. And I'm concerned. And that's not to say that we won't have successes. That I think that the gentleman that we've hired is a good guy. He's sincere.
Mm-hmm.
I think he gets a lot of the stuff we're trying to do. You know, I asked him a question about ribbon cuttings. You know, do you think you should be appearing at ribbon cuttings? And he said, no, that's not my job. My job is to be behind the scenes doing the hard work of economic development. I'll leave the ribbon cuttings to the elected officials. You're the guys who want to get, you know, which I thought was a great answer from your economic development director. It isn't about him. It's about the economy. It's about the businesses.
Right.
So I have high hopes for him. Is he
empowered enough?
I don't know. And that will be the question, right? It's too early to tell because right now he's learning about Hunterdon County. He's never lived here. He's only been here for probably 4 weeks or so.
Where did he come from? Do you know?
He was, he worked in Dark County, Ohio. I believe he went to school in Florida, and I think he had grew up somewhere in the Philadelphia area.
Okay.
So he understands the Northeast to a certain degree, and he certainly understands economic development. And he was not a bad hire. You know, he was just put in the wrong place. I think he'll do a good job. I think he'll be sincere and hardworking. And right now he's getting to learn Hunterdon County. He's getting to learn all of the peculiarities, all of the politics, all of the players. So he's not yet had to come and ask for a recommendation or make a recommendation that we have to follow.
Right.
You know, the one thing that is concerning to me is that he's been told to drop the talk of a public-private corporation, which, you know, I think is important that he be free to make that recommendation.
So that's an example right off the bat of a different lens and a restriction on this man having the empowerment to do what he needs to do. Not only doing it, but simply talking about it, simply bringing up the issue to be discussed openly and making the right decision.
Yes.
It's a tough question, Rob, but you got five people up there, the freeholders, that are hearing this, and I'm assuming you're in the minority.
I'm alone. And yeah,
so four others think that this is the viable way to
do it. Well, four others are supporting it. I suspect that some of them believe that the public-private model is probably optimal. I think some of them would like to see this move that way over time. I think some of them are opposed to it entirely, but I'm sure they can be happy to explain their position on this.
I'm not asking you to speak for them, but I just wanted to make sure that
I'm alone
understand.
In calling for this now. And I was alone for calling for it before we hired the person. I was alone in voting against the division creation, alone in voting against the hiring. And again, it's not because I'm opposed to SEDS. SEDS is a very good plan. It's a good analysis.
It's not being spun that way, is it?
No, I don't think so. But okay. It can be. It's certainly, you know, gee, why is Walton against economic prosperity, you know? No, I'd love to see the economy thrive. I think we ought to go down this road and not down that road.
Is there a clock? Is there a way that you can convince the other four freeholders to at least – for you to acquiesce for a certain event, which you had to anyway – but say, let's put a time limit on this. Let's look at this again a year from now.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, we need to have some benchmarks. And I think that's part of what the new director is going to try to establish is what are some benchmarks for success that will show this is working or not. Mm-hmm. And if we don't get to those, then you got to start asking, okay, why? And is it the model? What's the holdup? The problem with that is the people who are creating the benchmarks – are the same ones who created this model. So, you know, it's sort of like asking my son, gee, son, what's the criteria for you being a good boy?
Right.
Well, Dad, only eating 10 cookies is my criteria for being a good boy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, gee, you ate 9 today, so you must be a good boy. But, you know, it's not the way you measure these things.
Well, there should be, I would think, some other place that we can get objective
Well, I think the other objective benchmarks, the other criteria will come from people who are involved in it. You know, we've got some private participation, and if they don't see this thing moving along the way it should, you'll start seeing those folks expressing frustration, perhaps dropping out, perhaps speaking out publicly if they see things going the wrong way. Nothing's been tried to be done
yet.
It's
not collaboration, though.
I hear you.
That's the part that frustrates me, is you don't want it to get to the point where somebody that's on that subcommittee that's a business person who would be very is an appropriate person to have there and has valid ideas get frustrated and walk out, because all you didn't know is you're covering your tracks and trying to put Band-Aids on the problem to appease that person. That person's ideas should be brought up to the forefront and acknowledged then.
And that's another concern I have about the process we're going through. You know, a few weeks ago there was a stakeholders meeting, a steering committee meeting, and it wasn't advertised, no published agenda, no published meeting minutes. So we really don't know what's happening. You know, it's in some ways we're combining the worst of the public and the worst of private. Mm-hmm. A private process, the public is kept completely out of the know as far as what's going on. And the worst of a public process is it's all bureaucrats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, we've got all the bureaucrats and we've got all the privacy. That's not the best of both. I think that there are certainly people in there who are strong-willed enough to speak up when they think that something is going wrong. And there are certainly folks who know where I stand on it, know they have an ally if they have an issue with this. But it's a fair question. You know, that will be the challenge, is how do we measure this? When do we cut bait?
Mm-hmm.
At what point do you say this isn't working, we need to change?
Right. Well, another question and it has to do with, again, the five freeholders, is that you five freeholders are, in fact, the leaders. And there's an old adage that the organization runs the way the leadership provides it. And so there's a possibility that we, unfortunately, are starting to show some fragmented perspective. And therefore, this might not get as much traction as it needs to.
Well, look, we agree on about 95%, maybe 98% of what we do at the Freeholder Board. You know, we have disagreements on five things. You know, we disagree on the golf course. We disagree on the role of SEDS. We disagree on some other minor things. But, you know, on most other things, we are in agreement. We work together well, I think, for the most part. And part of the reason we work well is because we are free to express our disagreements. And
that's good.
You know, I am on that dais, and when I think these guys are doing something wrong, I say it. And sometimes they say, you know what, Rob, you're half right. We're going to come a little bit your way. And sometimes they say, Rob, you're just out to lunch, and we're not going to do it. You know, the golf course being a prime example. I am just adamantly against the golf course, but my colleagues think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and they're moving full steam ahead with this clubhouse, restaurant, bar, banquet hall. You know, okay, I'm still going to speak my mind on it, and they know where I stand, and we have our deliberation on it, and we move on to the next issue.
Well, that's cool, because – and then you personally can say, at least I spoke my mind, and and I accept the fact that the majority decided one way.
Yep.
So how do you – how does that differ from what you're tolerating now with the SEDS implementation?
Well, I don't think – maybe tolerating is too strong a word. I mean, I'm out there advocating and hoping that I can convince the public to see things my way. And again, going back to incentives, we all respond to the public. And you know, if the public says don't do this or don't do that, we're going to respond. And there are times where as a leader, you have to tell the public they're wrong and you ought to go this way. I think the golf course is an example of that. I think most people probably support or don't have an issue with having us build a clubhouse at the golf course and a banquet hall and a restaurant and a bar.
No, from an objective point of view, it's a great idea. The problem is that it's being paid for by people you don't want it to pay for.
Well, that's So, you know, my objection is, so I make my case, and people are going to choose to support the issue based upon the arguments they hear.
All right. We're going to take another quick break. We are flying through this hour. I'm going to have to ask this man to come back because we got to talk more about it. You're listening to Good Morning Huntington on huntingtonchamber.com. We'll be right back with more of Freeholder Rob Walton.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in the Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Huntington on huntingtonchamberradio.com. Like what you hear on Huntington Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Huntington Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the huntingtonchamberradio.com app today.
All right, we're listening to, you're listening to Good Morning Hunter and Hunter.com. We're listening to Freeholder Rob Walton, and we're talking about the SEDS and the economic viability of Hunterdon County. And before the break, Rob, you said you're trying to get your message out to the folks. I know there's a bunch of municipality, the freeholders are going out and talking to most of the municipalities, presenting the SEDS. The problem is, the concern is, from my point of view, that just like people going to vote, those people, only the people who are going to, who have a concern, are going. Those that don't have a concern, which are a lot of the people that you're trying to reach to change their mind, are not going to hear it. So how do you reach them? What are you going to do to spin this around to convince them that we need to adjust this execution?
Well, part of it is obviously coming on this morning radio show to speak my mind and present a different point of view. I think that a lot of folks don't know that there is an alternative means of doing this. They sort of – you hear the SEDS presentation, you
it's a lot to digest.
It is. It's a lot of information. And then they go through, here's how we're doing it. And he's, boy, this sounds really great. And you don't take the time to think through, is this really the best approach? So,
right.
I mean, I've spoken out at council at the freeholder meetings, and it's certainly gotten reported in the paper that I think there's a different way to go. And we certainly have gotten a lot of favorable response from my position about making this thing private. People generally who are reading these articles agree. So, again, speaking out at freeholder meetings, talking to any audience who will listen to me. I was at the planning board meeting about a week ago on a separate issue, and while I was there, I said, guys, I know you're involved in the SEDS process, but here's another way that I think it should work. And I had two members stand up and say, Rob's right. This is the way we ought to do it. So I think the message is getting through. I think it'll take time, but mm-hmm. This is how our democracy works, is you go out there into the public square, you present your case, you try to communicate to folks as often as you can, as effectively as you can, and at the end of the day, there are elections, people vote, and
but here's the caveat to that. Yes. And this is the biggest problem with politics today, and the reason we got the craziness going on in the presidential apathy.
Yes, apathy. And the apathy that we all see, I perceive as being a failure of understanding what government's role really is. Mm-hmm. You know, I drive a Toyota Camry. Okay, it's a nice, efficient car. It's going to last me several hundred thousand miles. It's not fancy, but it gets me ready to go. It's good, reliable transportation. Now, if I put a tow hitch on it and started to tow around a big boat, yeah, my Camry would fail.
Right.
It's not because the Camry's a bad car. It's because I've given it too much to do.
Yep.
Same thing with government. Our government institutions work if they're only expected to do the core things they're supposed to do. But we have put so much responsibility into federal, state, and local government to take care of all of these ills that it's not working. And what do people, when they run for office, do? They promise you're going to go there and fix it.
Right.
Don't promise me you're going to fix it. Promise you're going to go there and take the tow hitch off.
Right.
Relieve me of the burden.
Right.
We look at the presidential race, and people are angry on both sides of the aisle. If they're angry, they're voting for Bernie Sanders. They're angry, they're voting for Trump. Because we have not done a very good job of explaining and getting people to understand what government can and can't do. And we have this expectation that government can operate with the efficiency of FedEx. Mm-hmm. It just can't.
Right.
It's not built that way. You know, we've built the government to be slow, deliberative, to not have things get done. And people want government to get things done. Well, I'm in the school that says, I don't want government to get things done. I'm very happy when government can't get things done because I don't want to do a whole lot. And the things that it can't get done are things it probably shouldn't be doing.
Right.
You know, go back to defending the borders. Go back to a strong military. That's about it at the federal level. You know, I want my state government to fix the roads, to provide a safety net, to fund schools properly. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep putting more and more weight onto this vehicle, and it fails. I think that apathy is understandable, but you need to engage people and explain to them why it's important that they remain involved. And I certainly do that at every opportunity that I have, whether it's on a radio show, at a public forum, mm-hmm. just in my conversations at the firehouse. You know, you have to stay engaged because it's your democracy, it's your country.
Well, the other problem is that people are really busy, which you are as well. And there's a small percentage of people that
go over and above their normal 9-to-5 job and put in an effort on the freeholders. I do the radio station here. So, but most of the other people don't have the capacity to sit down and absorb this.
Understood. And I think if you ask those, but they all have time on Sunday night to watch The Walking Dead.
Well, it's a lot more interesting.
Well, perhaps.
So then the question is, how do you make it interesting? How do you engage them to the point where they say that, where they get the passion to say, I got to understand
this? What's more interesting than a big bureaucracy that takes money out of your wallet every week?
Well, because it doesn't feel tangible, right? It doesn't feel tangible to me that I'm. Now, if you told me, Chris,